League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
It's extra time.
He shoots, and it's a goal!
Hello and welcome back to the Extra Time podcast. You might be experiencing this visually or just auditorily.
Either way, welcome.
Yes, exactly. I'm joined by Doogie Critchley.
Hello.
And Zach Jellub.
Hello. Two very different hairstyles.
Is Doogie's a style?
Mine's just a sort of an accepted
affliction.
Yeah.
Anyway, today we are obviously discussing what I think is probably now the biggest story of the season, Manchester City's two-year Champions League ban and what it means. And Zach, you were going to kick us off with a little bit of background.
Yes, a bit of scene setting. Yes, as of Friday, last Friday, Manchester City are banned from the Champions League until 2022. That's not the only thing. The reigning Premier League champions have also been fined £25 million and could face further punishment from the Premier League. However, the Premier League have said they are not going to strip them of their previous titles. So sorry, Steven Gerrard, you are not winning a Premier League. Now, look, we all know what financial fair play is. In case you don't know, basically teams need to make sure their books are fair. They can't spend way too much. And if they do, they need to sell in order to keep it fair. In the way it works, this point of time, you're allowed £25 million to be posted in losses. And that is where City have gone wrong. Just to be clear, money spent on like stadiums, training grounds, youth development and things like that don't count in FFP. The big ones is mainly wages and player sales
and transfers
and tickets being sold as well. Now, City are publicly protesting their innocence. They said that the evidence they have backs their case and it's irrefutable. However, they've not stated what evidence they do have.
Yeah, they better come clear with that.
Because it also feels like the evidence against them is irrefutable.
It's very strong.
It's literally their own emails.
It's two very strong opinions here.
It's a bit mad. Well, basically, in fact, a club spokesman from Man City has said they're disappointed but not surprised. I think many in Manchester for the Sky Blues who work for the club were kind of expecting something like this. And this being the atomic bomb, the most severe punishment they could have received, being banned from the Champions League. Now, City will lodge an appeal to the CAS, the Court of Arbitration for Sport, to overturn the ruling. That is the same place where Chelsea went to as well for their transfer ban, which was reduced to only one window. Now, what they've actually done is apparently they've been concealing payments and conflating sponsorship deals in order to meet FFP's criteria, which were brought to the public's domain by Football Leaks and Spiegel. And also, according to The Athletic, City insists they haven't acted differently to other top clubs and will seek clarification of
clubs
such as PSG.
They're just going to throw other people down the bus.
Indeed. They're kind of saying, if we're going down, you're going down with us.
So it's not just that they haven't met like FFP regulations, right? It's that they lied about how they were trying to meet FFP regulations. So they were getting, what, 67 mil a year from Etihad. But then there are leaked emails from their chief financial officer saying
about
8 mil is going to come from Etihad and about 60 mil is going to come from Sheikh Mansour's umbrella company, which is essentially the Abu Dhabi government.
So this is where I think they may actually have something.
Okay.
So as I just said, they are going to be looking into teams like PSG and Juventus. Now, PSG's case back in 2017 was overturned. They had no ban. It was all fine in the end. But when I explain to you the situation, I think you're going to be questioning what happened. So now, I'm going to kind of give you the main details because otherwise we'd be here all day talking about PSG. The main thing I want to focus on is their sponsorship deal with the Qatar Tourism Authority. God, a bit of a tongue twister.
I like Qatar better.
Which was said to have been worth 100 million euros.
Oh, yeah. It was worth about 50 quid.
Well, yeah. So now you wait to put their best man on the case, a guy who goes by the name of Le Terme. It's French, so I think it's something like that.
I haven't seen it written down. How's it written?
L-E-T-E-R-M-E.
That would just be
Le Terme. Unless there's an acute accent on the final.
Here we go. And we're off.
Enjoy that.
Who is basically a financial investigator. Now, he commissioned a third party who called Octagon Worldwide to basically analyse the agreement and see whether it actually is worth $100
Worldwide. That sounds like a UFC organisation. Sounds like Pitbull's UFC company. Really does.
But basically, they were used to kind of see whether it actually is worth 100 million euros.
Okay.
But he also said, PSG, you can do the same. You can go get your own firm as well and see whether they think it's worth 100 million euros.
Okay.
So Octagon came back, the UEFA's one, and said it's about less than 5 million.
Whoa.
Yeah. Mm. Which is mental, because here, this is where the FFP comes in. This is what has allowed them to buy the likes of Neymar and Mbappe.
Yeah.
PSG's, though, come back, who are called Nielsen, and have said it's close to 100 million.
Okay.
So this is the bit where I don't quite understand it. It doesn't really explain it, but the guy, Le Terme, the UEFA investigator, goes, instead of requesting a third study, just goes, okay, we'll go with PSG's one.
Or averaging them, even.
Yeah, or averaging them.
Just being like, one says five, one says 100, let's call it 52 or something.
Let's try and find a gap in between that, yeah.
He goes, okay, we'll just go with PSG's. Which, in my
puzzling
head, yeah, makes no sense. And that kind of helped PSG get clear.
Okay, so we need Le Terme on the case for Man City.
Yeah, so you never know what could happen. It's also not the first time City have been in hot water with UEFA and the CFCB. They were fined 49 million euros back in 2014, though 32 million of that was suspended. And they had their squad limited to 21 players in 2014-15 after suffering losses of nearly 150 million pounds in over 2 years. People are saying City should be okay because financially they're a very rich club. However, last year they only posted £10 million profit. And considering the Champions League gives them at least £70
million,
things aren't looking too
good. Just their spending,
good,
isn't it? Because their revenue, I saw the other day when the Deloitte money list came out for 2019 or 2020,
high.
It's really high.
It's 5-3-5, I think.
Them and Liverpool are pretty close to overtaking Man United in terms of revenue.
Because of the Champions League.
Because of the Champions League as well.
Yeah, because United aren't in it, are they?
Well, my big question about this, and I don't mean to throw anyone on the bus because I actually don't know the answer, is why aren't they being punished by the Premier League for this as well?
So the Premier... That's Premier League's big one.
Right.
Yeah, they're kind of looking at... so the Premier League...
So they could yet be stripped of their titles.
So no, the Premier League have come out and said they're not going to strip them of their titles. Or if they do, they're not going to go and give them then to whoever finished second or whatever.
Right, okay.
Not a Juventus situation. Yeah, most likely they're not going to do that. What they may do is give them something like a points deduction at the beginning of next season or because it's going to have to be done quite quickly. I think
we'll be scrapping at the bottom for the first 3 months.
And then it'll be great because we can also say that if Liverpool win the league next year because City got a points deduction, we can both laugh at City and tell Liverpool their title wasn't real, which is all I want.
The other bit as well with the Premier League is like, although it is similar to FFP, their rulings, it's not the exact same. So City might be okay with it.
Well, they'd be pretty stupid to cheat on both accounts as well. If it was a looser, you know,
no, but they're the same accounts, right?
Yeah, they're kind
of, but if the Premier League have different rules in terms of the FFP,
they are
regulations.
Similar. They are very similar, and I think the kind of most severe thing that will probably happen with them is a points deduction next season, which it is possible.
Pretty
I think
severe.
Probably what they'll do is wait to see what the verdict is from CAS or what they when they file their appeal, and kind of go from there.
All the power of CAS,
but. Yeah, that's kind of all the background, the scene setting, what it means for players, Pep Guardiola, the future of Manchester City, whether they'll become a League One club. we'll discuss, I guess, over this podcast.
Yeah, very exciting.
But this is my concern, like that we talk about them being rich, but you're only as rich as the money that you can like legally put into the club. So you can have like, if I had $1 trillion and I took over Arsenal, I can't just put all that money in Arsenal, you know? I have to find a way to get it in legally. You can't just pump it in. And that's essentially what FFP is to prevent, right? Financial doping by an owner just dumping money in, which is 100% what it turns out Man City have done. Like, it seems extremely difficult for them to deny the truth of that claim.
Well, it was originally brought in, right, for clubs that were in debt. Because
But
I think it's kind of gone from that to...
But the two are related, right?
Yeah.
Because the idea was if somebody comes in, pumps a bunch of money in, and then they like lose all their money, for example, the club can just go under. Like, yeah, basically, true. If the club is dependent on a sugar daddy to pay its bills rather than being dependent on like long-term commercial deals, then it's more liable to fail.
It's like why everyone was complaining at the weekend. We released 10 clubs that are secretly rich, and I only had a day to write it. And effectively, I was like, this owner's really rich. But it's, as you say, like just because Aston Villa's owner is bloody minted doesn't make Aston Villa a very wealthy club.
Yeah, like Arsenal aren't a particularly wealthy club, but like Stan Kroenke owns the massive LA Rams. Like, he owns so much.
It's like a seven billionaire, I think.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So it's just like, I don't know, like look at Sunderland, for example, owned by one of the richest, I don't know, men who own clubs in Tyne and Wear.
Yeah.
What's he called?
Michael Dell.
Okay, how rich is he?
He actually just invested a loan of £10 million in the end. So it was rumoured to be a takeover. But he's
barely a Jack Rodwell.
I know. That's Jack Rodwell for a season. but yeah, now we're up for sale again. So if anyone's listening,
to Sunderland.
Yeah, so to talk about City's money in a bit more detail, like you said, 535 mil record revenue last year, but only a 10 mil profit. They earned 77 million in the Champions League, which will of course drop to zero, not in this next season, but the season after that. They'll of course get prize money from this season.
Yeah.
But also you'd expect that some of their costs are going to go up because they obviously have like a certain amount of money that's for like player amortization. So that's like shares of transfer fees that they haven't yet paid off. Bonuses, like signing on fees, all these sorts of things. Last year, those were 159 mil. This year is expected to be close to 200. So that's a big problem for them. Also, Sané and Aguero have got a year left on their contract. So you might have to accept a lower price for them than you would want to because they might agitate for a move and you might just have to say yeah, knowing that otherwise you'll lose them on a free next year, which is when you'll have no Champions League money coming in. That's something you can't really afford to do. Yeah. Like, so it's really troubling for them. And there's also a difficult situation on Champions League bonuses. A lot of their players at the moment receive extra cash, up to seven-figure sums, if City qualify for the Champions League, if they get through the group stage, if they get through the round of 16. Well, because this ruling denies them the opportunity to earn those particular bonuses, and not through their lack of performance, but just through like a kind of external factor, that could be seen as a kind of breach of contract, which means that the players could feasibly sue the club for those money, for those sums. And as a result, to prevent that happening, because that would obviously look terrible, the club might just decide to pay them off, which means they're then going to have to pay the Champions League bonuses without Champions League football. That's a real concern for them.
Jesus.
I also don't understand, and this is something I've been completely incapable of finding anywhere I look. I don't know what happens to their sponsorship deals. It's been found that their sponsorship deals were artificially inflated. Like, they were basically at a kind of pumped up market, like pumped up above market rate.
Yeah.
So what do their commercial deals look like going forward? Like, obviously that you have a bunch of existing deals. So they've just signed an extension with Nissan. That's for all the clubs in the City umbrella group. Yeah, the deal with Puma, which is like 65 mil a year. They've signed a deal with Midea, which is a Chinese consumer appliances manufacturer. So there's all these other commercial deals, you know, like the Man United stuff. Like, we have a tractor company. Yeah. We sell fertilizer in like Uzbekistan. But their actual central sponsorship, which is the kit sponsorship with Etihad, I don't know how that continues to work or whether it'll get knocked down to like a market value, or do UEFA say, yeah, you can carry on with that even though we know it's bollocks? Like, I'm not quite sure how that works. And if that does go down, then they're going to have less money coming in from that with which to make signings. I really struggle.
I think we're going to find out a lot more after CAS as well, because then more information will be released to the public, you'd assume, as well. That is quite weird, because essentially it's just giving money through Etihad.
Yeah, so Etihad, like, the thing I find weird is that City are going so hard on this idea of, like, what they've actually done is they've said they've got irrefutable evidence, but also what they've talked about much more is they've said these emails that Der Spiegel have and Football Leaks have were come about by illegal means. Like, you obtained them illegally, but you can
change the information in
them. Yeah, so they're just saying, well, like, they're trying to shift the focus. You're like, that's not going to work, because what I don't... CAS quite often knocks down
the initial
punishment.
Yeah, because... Two windows, one window. City and UEFA do not get on.
No.
So, like, I don't know if... The Athletic released a really good article where they kind of said when Manchester City first went to, I think it was Monaco for the Champions League draw, when they first got into the Champions League after being bought and everything, a lot of the clubs kind of laughed at them, didn't like them. And Bayern Munich especially were always like very, very wary about them and always made comments about like, you're ruining football and all this kind of stuff. So City and UEFA just do not get on. So maybe this is UEFA going, this is what we're giving you, the hardest possible thing. And then CAS go, okay, UEFA, calm down. I know they've annoyed you. Sit, you know, calm down, take a 10-minute break, and we'll
then
get,
I don't think they can use the fact that he's obtained it through illegal means. Like, he's in court.
They won't, they
Portugal.
Won't.
Like,
they won't. It, won't
it shouldn't make any difference to
it
the information that he's found.
Because it's public record now.
Yeah.
Like, exactly. If you read a thing that was leaked illegally, like, you're not a participant in a crime,
yeah, exactly.
And
now,
you can't ignore that.
And anyone could take them to court on that information now it's in public, so...
And it also feels like... I think actually the reason that the fine is only 25 mil and they focused on the Champions League thing is because, firstly, they know that's a bigger... punishment.
Yeah.
But also I think because CAS will probably knock down a fine, because that's like, that feels like a punitive measure. But UEFA get to decide who plays in the Champions League. UEFA get to decide that. It's their competition. So
yeah.
it's not a matter of just like, okay, you've cheated, like, and we're gonna like take a bunch of your money because we want your money. It's we get to decide who's in our competition because we are the arbiters of like the kind of, or we're entrusted with maintaining the integrity of that competition. And so as a result, they're perfectly within their rights to deny anybody a right to be in the Champions League, in the same way that they could say, for instance, that the fifth place Premier League team does not get a Champions League place. Yeah. They can do what they want. It's their competition. It's their rules. If you invite someone over to your house to play a game and you say these are the rules, you're allowed to enforce those rules however you want. And that person doesn't get to call the police if they don't like them.
UEFA brought the football to the and they're taking it home if
that's
they,
exactly
if it annoys
it.
Them
genuinely
that's literally it.
And also the evidence just seems like impossible to argue with. Like there's a consultant's report from 2010 which was written for the Crown Prince of Abu Dhabi, which says that the Abu Dhabi government, the executive council, was covering the sponsorship of Man City back then, not Etihad. Like these are also in like a US Aviation Council's like documents too. Then this US document also published a copy of the 2013-14 accounts of Etihad, which showed that Etihad had accumulated losses of nearly $4 billion, had drawn down $5 billion worth of loans from the Abu Dhabi government, which had also contributed like $2.5 billion in like capital, just share capital. And then it said they spent 150 mil that year on advertising and promotion. So it's like saying... So even if they say the money came from Etihad, it's pretty easy to show, well, no, it came from the Abu Dhabi government via Etihad. So I really don't know how they get this knocked down. It's not a situation like CAS where CAS could say, okay, well, we don't think they did exactly what you're saying. Or, okay, well, you're asking for a really big punishment and we're going to give them a smaller punishment. I mean, the only possible thing I could really see CAS doing is giving them a one-year ban from the Champions League instead of a two-year ban. And even then, I think UEFA are well within their rights to say, you don't govern the Champions League. The Champions League is our competition.
Yeah, we deal with it.
You can tell us if we can't just take money
from
a club.
Yeah, as an overruling sort of sporting body, I bet CAS have that in fine print that they could enforce.
No, I'm sure they could, but like I think that that's a much harder sell than it is to say like than if it were like if UEFA were asking for 200 million euros in fines. Like then I think CAS could say you can't just take money from clubs when you disagree with them. Whereas I think they are kind of within their rights to say
it's our competition.
These are the rules that we insist you abide by to get in our competition. Not only did they break the rules, but they lied to us about the rules and like made a joke of it. We're going to punish them and we should be able to punish them as strictly as we want. So I mean, I with all this stuff in mind, we basically have no idea how much money they have. Like, will they be able to spend in the summer? I assume they'll be able to spend a bit because they've still got money coming in. But will they be able to spend a lot? Will they be able to cover their needs? Will they have to sell some players? No idea whatsoever.
No one knows. How do you guys actually... This isn't really what we planned to talk about, but how do you personally feel about this? Because when I heard the news, I was on a stag do. Didn't really have my head in the game. And I was just like, I'm living in some sort of dream world. But now as the days go on, I'm actually increasingly angry about it. Because I've really... Man City have painted themselves out as whiter than white for years. They've built probably the best sporting situation in terms of their academy in the world.
Yeah.
They've got the best manager in the world over the last 10 years. They've built a team that everyone has loved watching. I can't emphasise that enough. I've never had so much joy watching an English team as watching Man City over the last 3 years.
Wow.
And it is all built on a lie. everything is. That, because even if they say, oh, it only goes to transfers. No, it doesn't. If your sponsorship is inflated, that funds the entire operation. And they have cheated football by doing this. And they've cheated their players, they've cheated their manager, all through this links to this country that always looked quite shady anyway. But now we've got some evidence. I mean, are you guys angry like it, or do you find it funny? Because there is, in the office, like, I think when you find out massive news like this, most people's reaction is humour. But I'm increasingly finding this really angry.
I think anger is probably
your clubs compete with them. That must be frustrating.
To a degree. I mean,
but we knew they were spending this money. Yeah. Like, it wasn't like when they were spending loads of money every summer and you could see them spending the money. The fact they came by that money, like, kind of illegally, I kind of always figured they did. Like, and to be honest, it's no different.
They're not necessarily selling out the Etihad every week. They're not necessarily selling players for lots of money. Chelsea, money somehow.
And also, I'd say, like, no offense, but Chelsea are in no position to, like, make a fuss about it, because Chelsea, like, made themselves a super club before FFP came in. Like, now, as a result, that means they didn't break any rules, but they essentially did what FFP came in to stop, which is, like, a guy just dumping a bunch of money into a club. I've got to say, I find it funny in that, like, City are having a bad time. I find that funny.
Yeah,
but the actual thing itself makes me furious. Mm. Like, everything I read about how they thought they were going to get away with it. And to be honest, the fact that this dirty money comes in from what is, to my mind, like, a disgusting, reprehensible, like, state, which has an appalling record on human rights, which has taken money from the worst people in the world, including, like, ISIS. Like, I really, really object to it. But I don't feel that sorry for the players. And I certainly don't feel sorry for Pep. Because I think that they're 100% are complicit in this to some degree. The players a little bit less so, because they're a little bit removed. But for example, when City decided that they were going to, like, sell the players' image rights to a company they also owned, in order, like, that is a fiddle the players knew about in order to get, like, big bonuses. Like, they knew they were being paid.
The intelligence to realise that. And I don't, not footballers, but, like, you know, say with someone like Edison, he signed his contract to, like,
that's not
22.
An excuse, though.
I know.
Like, you
know,
do a financial advisors.
Yeah, I feel slightly bad for
As for Pep, like, this is the thing. This also, like, there was the, what's it called? All or Nothing on Amazon. Where Pep,
they meet the country. Yeah, they
went to the UAE, and they know that they're involved in sports washing. They know that they're involved in helping launder the international reputation of a country which is treated as a friend but behaves like an enemy. They know that they are part of that. Like, Pep knows that he goes there and, like, shakes hands with Sheikh Mansour, and he knows where Sheikh Mansour's money comes from. Like, he's 100% complicit in that. And it would then be ridiculous if he was like, oh, I feel like I've been denied my chance to win the Champions League by the club. Like, also, he might still win the Champions League this year.
Yeah,
like, he might do. Something definitely worth talking about.
So I know what you're saying is, in, like, everyone just thinks it's, like, a big joke, and... Well, insofar as I find it funny, that, like, I think Man City are getting what they deserve.
Yeah.
But I don't actually find the idea funny.
I think that's the thing for me as well. Like, if they do get what they deserve, they are bad for 2 years. I think I accept it a lot more by saying they've been found out, they've been caught. I actually feel quite annoyed about reading PSG stuff, how they got away with that. Unbelievable. It just doesn't make sense. Mm. It really doesn't make sense in my head when I was reading it through. And if anyone out there feels like they do know why they got away with it, or they were deemed as being fine, please tweet me on Twitter and let me know. With PSG's one, personally, I feel more so, because that, you're like, nothing adds up. Like, A and B does not equal C here. So what's happened? Mm. So there's a bit more questions. Whereas at the moment, with the way it's going with City, it looks like they will get that ban. And so at least where it's like, okay, they did the wrong, they're being punished. I can accept a bit more. In case of PSG, I'm a bit more like, they've just got off scot-free. And if anything, allowed to now just go and sell Mbappe, sell Neymar, keep them and do whatever they want with them. So to that degree as well, I probably kind of don't feel as bad for City. Don't feel as angry against City, because they're at the moment getting their just dessert.
Yeah, fair.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
I mean, we need to go on to what it's going to mean for their squad, which I think is really interesting. Because as we sort of touched on earlier, David Silva, Claudio Brava and Scott Carson are the only players out of contract this summer. Sane, Aguero, Fernandinho next summer. Stones, Otamendi and Eric Garcia the following year. And other than that, everyone's beyond 2023 or beyond. So actually, City are in quite a good shape unless they are found... you know, guilty, as Pat mentioned. I mean, the sports lawyer called John Mesrat was talking about how they might have breached their contract so they could potentially leave as free agents, was one argument, but he said it's incredibly unlikely. So I think they're in a pretty good state to keep hold of most of their squad, but they will need some new players. Obviously, they've got two goalkeepers leaving this summer. We'll just do this very briefly because it's their second and third choice goalkeeper, not particularly interesting anyway. They can pick up Walter Benitez from Nice. He's leaving on a free. He's 26. He's a former Argentinian under 20 international. He's like played well for Nice for a good few years now.
There are always free keepers.
Yeah, free keepers.
They could even give Bravo.
Scott Carson has been on loan this year. Hasn't played a single game. Walter Benitez probably won't either. But yeah, he'd be a solid pickup for their third choice. Second choice goalkeeper is slightly more interesting because you kind of need someone that could easily step in to Edison's shoes and maybe try and replicate some of his play. So I was looking around and Predrag Rakjavec from Stade Reims is a potential in terms of his shot-stopping ability. He has been absolutely outstanding this year. 78% save percentage, the best record in France. He's only conceded 19 goals in 25 games for Stade Reims. It's quite incredible. But with his feet, probably not quite at that level. So the player I was suggesting was Sergio Asenjo. I think that's how you pronounce it, from Villarreal. He's 30. He's had two bad injuries, but they were a good 3 or 4 years ago. Very good with his feet. Very solid goalkeeper. That Villarreal actually haven't been that good in terms of their defence this year. They've conceded 32 goals in 24 games. Only that's 10th in the division, but only three sides are conceding more shots. So actually, he's doing pretty good with the job he's having to do. His save percentage has been about 70% throughout the season, which is 6th in the league, behind the likes of Courtois, who I think is number one. Then I think it's Oblak and Ter Stegen. So he's in some pretty elite company in terms of goalkeepers in Spain. So I would suggest bringing those two in as your two goalkeepers. But this is where we get into the more interesting scenario, because this summer, I think City would... Well, they're definitely bringing a centre-back, and they might bring in two.
They need defensive reinforcements.
They might bring in two, because they might decide to sell John Stones, because he's nowhere near that first team at the moment, really. He's not getting a sniff.
And you could get decent money.
And you could get decent money.
Where would he go?
At least
Linked with
Everton,
Arsenal.
Could you take him at Arsenal?
Depends what the price is.
40 mil?
I wouldn't spend it. No, I don't think so. I think you can get... His fitness is not reliable enough.
Yeah, he's had a few injuries too.
Okay, so we need a right-footed centre-back, ideally, to play alongside Laporte. Zach, do you want to... I mean, no one's director of football here. We're just going to chat about who they could bring in.
Yeah.
Zach, who have you got?
So I haven't gone for a right-footer. I'll start off with that. And I also kind of went with this option because I thought it was cheaper in terms of, one, the financial situation of the City, and my two other options might cost a little bit of money. So I've gone for Nathan Ake. He's only 25 years old. He is starting to, you know, get closer to his prime years. But... For the money-wise, it's not too bad. So it's believed his buyback option at Chelsea, which was around £40 million, has now ended. However, there is one report from a certain newspaper who say that Chelsea do still have that option, but I don't think that is the case. So, I reckon you could be going for around £40 million, maybe a little bit more. And if Bournemouth do maybe get relegated, there is a potential to get him for even cheaper, and a lot of their players, to be fair. But he is still making, doing decent numbers. He's making 2.6 tackles and interceptions a game. He's getting about a 78% success rate.
That's very good.
It is. But I mean, for Bournemouth, we've known he's kind of been their star performer, even though of recent he's been kind of out of the squad, but that has been due to injuries. And we kind of know how quick he is as well, and he's always kind of putting himself in the right positions. And for City side of play, I think he does fit in pretty well. He's arguably a lot of the reason why Bournemouth can do their kind of quicker passing style. He averages 89% pass accuracy. Laporte is averaging 91%. So he's up there. That being said, Laporte is doing about like 89 passes a game, whereas Ake's doing about 45. So maybe that might drop a little bit, but it's not too bad. His injury record is also pretty good, which is where I think City need to be careful on who they're signing, because they've suffered with Kompany in his last year. They've suffered with John Stones. Laporte, for Ake, obviously, he's only suffered two injuries in his eight-year career. The most recent in December, which was a hamstring injury and only kept him out for a month, which was six games. That being said, that month is arguably one of the most important, because there's a lot of games during that period. Yeah, Nathan Ake is my one. My bigger... I know some of the names you guys are going to suggest, and I probably do agree with you guys more so. But I think if you can get him for, say, £35 million, maybe 40, depending if they stay up, then probably a little bit more than that, then I think that's a good amount. And I personally think you keep John Stones this season, and then when it goes into his final year the next year, you look at selling him on then. It hopefully allow Nathan Ake to kind of get into the squad, get used to it. Because you don't want to say, go and sell John Stones, bring in Nathan Ake, and have him, you know, have to be performing straight away.
And there's still a good player in John Stones. Like the year before last, he was exceptional. I'm with you. I wouldn't rush to sell him necessarily, but they just might do if they see that this is a good opportunity to balance their book.
And if you can't, you assume you're not going to be able to extend his contract, so like, why would you selling him at the end of the next year? You might face a massive downgrade on how much money you're going to get.
True.
Whereas at least if you bring in the money now, FFP is averaged over 3 years, which means that then like you can bring in all that cash and that'll count towards FFP over the next couple of seasons.
Fair. Pat, who are you suggesting for the
I went like straightforward. I was just like Pamukkale.
Yeah, it's great.
Like he's linked with Arsenal and Arsenal and United. Like Man City are much more attractive than either. I think even if Man United make the Champions League, I'd rather go to City and play under Pep. Like, they're going to pay you ridiculous wages. He's like a high volume passer with a great range. He's extremely athletic and a good reader of the game. So they can play with a high line, which obviously they do at City. Like, the one concern, actually, I hadn't really thought about what you were saying. Like, he is quite injury prone.
Yeah.
That would be a worry. But on the other hand, I think you look at the season, and one of the reasons it's been a problem for them that they've had injuries is because they didn't have enough centre-backs. They went into the season with Otamendi, Stones and Laporte. And then after that, they were like, okay, the rest of our depth will be Walker, Fernandinho, Rodri. So that doesn't seem wise. If you just add one more centre-back to that mix, I think it... And also, you know, I'd probably go for someone like a Pamukkale, because supposedly there's a 60 million or 55 million euro release clause this summer. But also, I think you could look at the clubs that are getting relegated from different divisions. Like, so I think you could take a look at, you know, a Godfrey or somebody out of Norwich. Because if he's going to be like your fourth or fifth choice centre back, I think that's totally fine. Yeah. You're going to play him in cup games. He's going to learn the system, and then he comes in a couple of years. You know, with that in mind, I know you're going to ask for a winger at some point. Like, I think it's again a good idea to look at the relegated sides. But to me, a Pamukkale just has everything. And yeah, his injury record is a bit of a concern, but it's still another body.
Yeah, he's been outstanding this year as well. Just looks like a Pep player as well.
Yeah.
He just looks phenomenal. I think it's a very good shout. I had three, but I'm only going to really put forward two. Skriniar was the guy who instantly came to mind, but I think he will be almost double the price of Upamecano. I think he'll be over around 100. He's one of their top assets, along with side Lautaro Martinez. I can't see Conte wanting to get rid of him.
Do you think he'd accept
in a hurry?
No Champions League football, though? Because he's only played one year
of it.
Yeah, this is his first season of it.
So, he could be potentially quite relaxed about it.
Stay there.
Maybe.
Yeah, he's only 25, though.
Oh, okay, true.
So, 2 years out of it, coming in at 27, that's, what, a year younger than Van Dijk? It's the year that Van Dijk... Yeah. I think he was the age that Van Dijk moved to Liverpool at.
Okay.
And he is, just a very good all-round player. Phenomenal passer for the last 4 years. I think he's been in the top five passes completed in the entire league. And was even in the top 12 when he was at Sampdoria the year before. Mm. Very good injury record. Only missed four league games since signing for Inter in July 2017. Currently valued by Transfermarkt about 54. But as I say, he's got a contract until 2023. He'd cost a lot, I think. And then my second option, which is kind of a bit more rogue, was Marquinhos.
I don't think you get him.
I'm not sure we do either. But he has been there for 9 years, and he might just want a chance.
A different scene.
Well, to be fair, if you've been at PSG for 9 years, I think the one thing you probably really want is the Champions League. So maybe this is a stupid suggestion, but I just think he's a phenomenal player and can play at DM as well. So
yeah, that's helpful.
Good squad. Options. The third option, which I was just briefly going to suggest, he deserves a bit of a shout out rather than probably ready for it, is Nico Elvedi. Borussia Mönchengladbach. He's only 23. Again, really good passer. Averages over 91%, 76% tackle success rate, 63% aerial win rate. Just a really good all-round player. Really enjoyed the snippets I've caught him play this year. I can't say I've watched Gladbach 90 minutes week in, week out. And he's been a regular there for 4 years and he's only 23. So maybe the following year, a top club should look at him. But yeah, so centre-backs, should we just go with Upamecano?
I think Upamecano is the one. Yeah, it's a very solid option.
And that release clause does really swing it that really way, helps. I think. Okay, Zach, so let's move on to Sané, because Sané, of all the players that we're going to talk about, probably looks like he is most likely to leave.
Yes.
And yes. That was really the case last year. Then he got that injury.
What do you reckon you get for him?
That's the thing with the injury now.
So and a year left on his contract.
I'm pretty sure Bayern Munich had an offer last year of 73 rejected.
Okay.
And Man City said they wanted at least 137. 137 is a really weird number as well. Why'd you say 140?
But that's probably probably like 150 million euros.
Yeah, oh yeah, very good point. Maybe. Very good point.
Maybe it was just to cover the two to get over the FFP.
FFP. Yeah, probably. There you go. So that's definitely going to drop. That's definitely going to drop. But say they do sell him, they get a decent amount of money in. They can spend it on who I think is a really, really good replacement. Leon Bailey.
Ooh,
22-year-old Leon Bailey. Now, he has had a kind of a rougher season this campaign. He's been out for nearly 2 months with a muscle injury back in October. And he's only started 6 games this season, but you'll find out a bit more why later on.
Okay.
Now, he also sat out on training in January due to another muscle injury, which is a bit worrying at 22 years old to be having several muscle injuries this early on in the season. But despite that, despite playing, starting just 6 games, he's got 4 goals and an assist. He's actually 1 goal away from matching his tally from last season of 5 goals and 1 assist, in where he played nearly 2,000 minutes. He's played 600 this year. And he's actually got a goal contribution every 118 minutes. Now, to show you how good he is, even though he's played less, last season, no player aged 23 or under made more key passes than Leon Bailey in the Bundesliga.
Wow.
Which is an impressive feat to reach. Now, part of the reason...
Sorry, no player...
Under the age of 23.
So more than Sancho?
More than Sancho, yeah.
More than
Unbelievable.
Werner.
Unbelievable.
Well, Werner then, at least.
Now, part of the reason he has missed a lot of games this season, and the one thing that I'd actually quite worry about, along with his injury record, is he's already received 2 red cards this season, and both were so stupid.
Really?
I put it down to his age.
I quite like that.
One of them was for violent conduct.
Sick.
Where he's kind of
so like stamp on something.
It was like pushing someone's head away.
Oh,
like,
right,
you know,
okay.
In a confrontation, he's like push someone's head away. The other was for
always leave the
head. He just kicks out. It's the 97th minute. He just kicks out at someone because his team are losing. But I would put that down to inexperience. His father's come out and said, "I've spoken to him. He knows now. He's got to be being more mature in these situations." And look, you know, in football, even he's the same age as me, and I know I can get aggravated during the game. So in a professional stage in the Bundesliga, at his age...
With the lights on, yeah.
With the lights on, it's no surprise. But he is a big game player. He is a very big game player. He scored 2 goals against Bayern in their 2-1 win earlier this season, and also netted against Dortmund in their 4-3 win. Earlier,
so I'd like to hear
a couple of like last week, I think it was. And his stats are decent: 1.7 shots per 90, 1.3 key passes so far this season, nearly 2 dribbles a game. Not too bad considering he's not started a lot. He's also made 6 appearances off the bench. Now, the hype has died down a bit. If you consider how hyped he was in 2018, where people were talking a lot of money for him, it has died down. In 2018, Bild said he was heavily linked to Chelsea.
I remember
and,
that.
And that move, there's also Liverpool interested, United were potentially interested as well. And he's contracted at the club until 2023. Now, back in 2018, €55 million were the reported fee. That also was by Bild. I think it's probably going to be a bit more than that nowadays. CIES value him at 30 to 40. Again, I think that's pretty low for what he actually gives.
They always are low.
Yeah, yeah. So I reckon, I think if you went to them and said, here's 70, they would definitely think about it. You may eventually have to go to 80 for them by putting on added bonuses, but I reckon that is a fee that would come in. He is still very young. And you like City already have a number of players that can play on the wing, so he doesn't have to be starting straight away. He doesn't need to be playing every single game. But if you can do what they've kind of done with Gabriel Jesus over time, with giving him the games every now and again, letting him play, letting him contribute, that's where I think you get the best use out of him. He has previously said, "What I can say is that my full focus is on developing myself as a young player, and that's what I'll focus on. If a club wants me, my management and buyer will take care of it." Mm. Now, that's not a plea to say, "Come and get me."
It's pretty
open-ended,
that, isn't it?
I think he's a really good fit for City. Like he'll be there. Although Champions League wise, he may be wanting to play in it, because he's also said the number one aim for him is to win the Champions League. So that might be a bit of an annoyance. However, time City are back in the Champions League, he's going to be 24, 25, reaching his prime years. That's the best time for him. And at that point, he would have settled into City's system, probably one of their key players. I think it's a perfect move.
I think it's a good shout, actually. I like that. Pat, did you have anyone else to throw in the mix?
Well, I do have a guy, but I don't like him as much as Bailey, I don't think. Like, I like that Bailey as well has played wing back before. He plays in a pressing team. Like, he can play on both sides. Like,
very possession heavy side.
Because you remember when Sane was playing wing back for a minute? Like, yeah. Bailey could do that to slightly better effect, I think. He's also unbelievably fast, and you're actually losing a lot of pace in Sane, because you've got a lot of left-footers. Now I think about it, your wide players, you know, like three of them are left-footed, like Sane, yep, Silva and Mahrez. Yeah. But if Sterling comes inside, the only and Sane goes, then nobody's really offering much pace in the wing. Mm. Like, you really do need somebody like very,
Mahrez,
very
that's
fast.
That's what Sane was Mahrez so good quick, at, getting to Mahrez the byline as well. He was awesome at that cutback. Yeah.
That team will get slower if they're not careful. And speed is more important than it has ever been. So I do like that. I mean, the guy I was going to suggest was Riccardo Orsolini, who's at Bologna. He's 23. He's got 11 goals and assists in the league in about 1,800 minutes. XG says he should have about 14 goals and assists, which is pretty outrageous record given Bologna are 10th?
Something like that.
10th, I think.
Fair play.
So that's 0.66 expected goals and assists per 90. Also a good dribbler, also puts in a decent amount of defensive work, couple of tackles and interceptions a game. Because he's at a mid-table club, he's not going to care about Champions League football. He's also 22. So by the time you get back in the Champions League, he'll be 24. He'll be fine. Or 25, rather. He's 23. He's left-footed as well, but he can play on both sides. He could also feasibly play as a centre-forward. And I do worry about the centre-forward position, because I'm not quite sure what the plan is there. I assume we'll come on to that. Yeah. But yeah, I think Orsolini's good. And also, if you don't have much money, I think he's going to cost you, but I don't think he's going to cost you Bailey money. I think you'll probably get him for like 35, 40. Maybe 30.
That's
maybe 35
option.
Is generous, but 40.
Especially if FFP screws him over and like they really don't have a lot of money to spend. That's like an ideal signing.
Yeah, that is a good signing. I've got two options. One is the blockbuster.
Here we go.
What about Buendia and people as well, actually? Like, now I think about
Norwich.
I think Norwich are going to go down. I think Villa and Bournemouth have the two hardest run-ins in the league. Like, it's easily possible one of those will go down. And then I do think like a Buendia would be like a totally decent signing.
I think Buendia's better in central areas. I don't know what it'd be like in a 4-3-3. But then
I do feel like their wingers kind of always are attacking mids, kind of.
Yeah. It's pretty fluid, isn't it? The cheaper option was Samuel Chukwueze.
Okay.
Really young. He's only 20. And I was actually thinking about this. Man City's issues this year haven't really been in forward areas. They've scored 65 league goals in 25 games. They've topped 100 goals in 38 games. And Mahrez has actually really stepped up this year.
Yes.
8 goals and 11 assists in 26 league and Champions League games. So I was thinking Pep could go for a little pet project. And Samuel Chukwueze could well be that. He's only 20. His stats aren't phenomenal. So he's got 3 goals and 1 assist in 23 La Liga games this year. But that's only 13 starts. But he should have 3-3 according to XG. But he is lightning fast. And I could really see, like, if you get your hands on that and make him into a technically gifted as he is physically gifted, maybe a big ask, then you could really make him a player. He only came over from Nigeria, his native country, in 2017. So he's already at this stage, you know, three years, 2.5 seasons down the line. And I feel like there's just so much physical potential in him that if you make anything of him technically, could be a really good player. Then the other player I went for was someone that I feel like if they want to... Man City's goal, which might now change over the next 10 years, was effectively to become the most dominant club in Europe. Mm. They need to win Champions Leagues. I think you need to get a player that's going to be at the top of their game for the next decade. So I was thinking just get Jadon Sancho back. Because they can also get... Don't they have first offer? No, aren't they alerted to any bids for him?
They have the right to match any bid that comes in for him that is accepted.
So
if somebody offers 75 mil and Dortmund say yes, then they have to take it to City and City say, right, we'll match that bid.
But of all the chat, like you've seen Liverpool, you've seen United, you've seen Chelsea, there's very little chat about Sancho coming back to City. And maybe they're just not looking in that area
strongly.
They
ended on great terms. I'm not sure.
Yeah, because Pep said like he needs to stay and be patient, and Sancho said bye.
Well, yeah. I'm ready. Yeah,
and he was right.
He was right.
He was so ready.
And obviously, I don't need to go into his stats. Everyone knows how phenomenally he is. I just feel like if they could bring him back and they got that matching deal, and I don't know how motivated Sancho to be like, it didn't work out the first time. I wasn't given enough time there, or I wasn't given enough playing opportunity. Like how motivated he would be to prove them wrong. Although
I think Pep would have to eat some humble pie.
Yeah.
I think Pep would have to say, I'm really sorry, like blah, 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 blah.
I don't know whether they got the 120 that it would probably
That's
cost.
The other thing as well. FFP, like, it really depends on which way FFP does it. Because if it ends up being like, okay, they can still spend fairly big in the summer, then sure.
Or if it's just a year.
Yeah, or if it's just a year.
Then it's like,
I also heard that Bayern are slightly cooling on the offer, on the option
Leroy
of Sane. Leroy
Sane. Yes.
So... I'm not even entirely sure whether they'll need to replace Sane.
But I think they have to. They have to because they have to sell him. Like, they've either got to sell him or get him to sign a new contract. Otherwise, he might be leaving on a free in the middle of a two-year ban. Like, if he leaves on a free in the middle of a two-year ban, like, you've got nothing. Like, you're much better off selling him for even, like, 60 mil at the end of this year.
Are cooling their interest, like... Would Barcelona, would Real Madrid come in?
Real wouldn't. I mean,
you're not going to want to send him to a Premier League club.
Imagine if Man United came in.
Somebody would buy him.
I'm sure there's plenty of offers. Even like a Juventus. I mean, some of their forward line are really old now. Higuain.
If you went to like Inter or something.
I was just thinking Inter as well. That would be so weird.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Okay, so we've done Sane. The big one, the potential other big name that could leave is Aguero with that sort of reduced terms. Zach, you know, you're probably going to cover this, but you know, obviously hasn't won a Champions League. That might be top of his priorities.
Yeah, so Sergio Aguero now is 31. And if the Champions League ban stays, the next time he'll be back in the competition, if he signs a new contract with City, that is, will be when he's 34, which isn't something, in my opinion, I'd be doing. So he's literally won everything he can do in a club profile apart from the Champions League. So the other realistic bit as well is when he's 34, if he is at City, is he really going to be playing either as well? He said before he wants to end his career in Argentina. I think it was Independiente he wants to go back to. So there's one real kind of, there's only one more move he can make before doing that. And the only clubs that are allegedly interested in him at the moment, so, and we're also going to have to see how things work out, are Real Madrid and Atletico Madrid. And if Real Madrid is an actual case, then I would be very shocked if he doesn't end up going there. Because if there's one team which is going to, I mean, Real Madrid's chances of winning the Champions League are a lot higher than Atletico's. Yeah. And for him, that's the one competition they'd want to win. I don't know what how his loyalties lie, if he would feel really bad about doing that to Atletico, but we'll see over time. And yeah, that's if they're going to get money for him, I don't necessarily think City are too interested about the money side for Aguero. But if they're going to, then they have to sell him this summer because his contract will run out the summer after. And unless he's signing a new one, it's just not going to happen. So yes, they're going to need a new striker. They do have Gabby Jesus, however. And this is what I think is a big, big if. Because if you bring in another striker, who I'll say in a minute is my option, I think Gabby Jesus just goes, well, what do you want from me? I'm leaving then. Because Gabby Jesus right now, if we've said it the whole time, if Aguero's next step is moving on, Gabby Jesus must be sitting there and going, sweet, it's my time to shine. Because is it two seasons, maybe a little
two
bit longer?
Two and a half, I think.
He's been at Man City now.
Did he come in January? Yeah,
he came in January. He's bided his time and he's done really well. Like every time he's been on the pitch, he's been phenomenal. So now, when Aguero moves on, you'd assume that's it. He's going to be the guy that takes over and takes over for a long time. So I would be very surprised if they did do this. But I suggested they should go for Timo Werner.
Mm. Well, he'd be perfect, yeah.
He really would be.
Or they could even play Sterling through the middle, which at one point they were talking up.
Yes.
Like Sterling as striker.
Well, that's the other point, right? If they want to save money, then you say, okay, you bring in your Jadon Sanchez or your Leon Bailey, and you say, okay, Gabby Jesus is our starting striker, and if we then need another striker, we just put Raheem there.
Yeah.
I don't know too much about
Timo Werner gives you that flexibility, and I think he would be the one to go for rather than Sancho. Because he can play in both positions, so
yeah,
that for
true.
City that might actually clear it quite well.
And unless like a Liverpool or like a Bayern comes in for Werner, like I do think that like I still think City are really attractive. They're going to give you huge wages. They've got the best manager in the world. Like
now,
I still think that. And next season, like they don't have Champions League football, which means like you'll probably win the league, like or you'll at least have a very very good shot at winning the league.
The one thing as well, which I don't think we've actually spoken about, is Pep Guardiola has said he's going to stay till the end of next season.
Mm.
Doesn't really look like he's going to stay beyond that.
Sure.
So for any player that's joining thinking, oh, I'm going to be under Pep Guardiola, he's only going to be
crazy?
There.
That's a
gonna,
very good point.
He's only going to be there for a year. Mm. So if Timo's saying, okay, I'm playing under Pep Guardiola, that's amazing. But once you're back in the Champions League, you're not going to be playing under Pep Guardiola. You're going to be playing
like Van Persie signing for United thinking he's going to work under Sir Alex.
Also, I'd actually be tempted if I was City to say to Pep, go this summer rather than stay that extra year.
Really?
Because there are managers available this summer who are worth having.
Okay.
If you wait till 2021 and Pep says, well, my contract's up, so I'm going, you can't stop me, you might look around and say,
you don't know how many of these players are there for Pep and really that's what their main motivation
maybe,
is.
Maybe, but like, but I still think it's better. I think it would be an easier sell to them to say, Pep's leaving, Pochettino's coming in this summer. Like get to 2021, Pep leaves. Then you've also got a bunch of contracts that are expiring 2022, 2023. So you've got another problem there.
Oh, man.
And maybe Pochettino's not available. And who's the next best manager on the list? You might look around and say, I don't know, maybe Marco Rosa has moved on by that point. Like, you don't know.
Yeah,
like, and so that's the thing, is there'd be a part of me that would be like, is Pochettino now better than like,
no,
some randomer in the future, like maybe it is.
That is
difficult. So
I think there's too much going on. You want to keep Pep, definitely. I thought that was the best news for ages from a City point of view that he agreed to stay.
Yeah, but that Pat's not like you can only tell.
It's an interesting point.
You could imagine going into the 2021-2022 season with way less money because like they haven't had Champions League money that year. With a bunch of contracts running down and people refusing to extend, with Aguero gone, with Sané gone, with Pep gone, and looking around for a new coach, also needing to invest a couple of hundred mil in their team and not being able to, and saying, fuck. we've spent over 10 years building this project and we're kind of shafted.
Yeah, because you also need the right manager to be able to take over. You can't then go and get in, like I say, a defensive coach, because that's just not what they're not
squad's
what
built for.
Their squad's built for. I mean,
imagine Sarri going there. Be so lost.
It would be. Imagine they just rebuilt their side and just make it a defensive side. That's it. Bring in all the big boys.
Chris Wilder.
I also agreed with you. I was saying Werner.
I think Werner's the one that kind of makes the most sense, especially with like, I mean, no one knows 100% what his contract situation is like. Some people reported that it's 60 million in the summer, that also then drops down to 30 after after May or whatever it is. And then there are some people that say it's 60 the whole time. There is also an offer report at the very beginning saying it's 30. come the summer, full stop. I think the bottom line is, if it's 60, if it's 80, if it's 30, the big clubs are going for him.
Yeah.
Bayern Munich, maybe Real Madrid, we'll see how Jovic ends up. United, Chelsea, Liverpool.
Definitely considering.
Now Man City, he's going to be shopped around to many a clubs. The one worry you have is he's now in the Champions League. He's now an elite striker, one of the world's best. Is he going to go, you're out of the Champions League for 2 years, guys. I want to be playing on the highest stage. I'm not coming. That's my worry for Werner. And if that happens, then I think you don't go out and buy... you go out and buy someone like Jadon Sancho, Leon Bailey, and you just play Raheem Sterling through the middle with Gabby Jesus as the main. Because they've already prepared. Prepared? Yeah. For life after Aguero by signing Jesus.
But I guess my concern here is two things. Firstly, if they win the Champions League this season, you just re-up Aguero. You just give Aguero another year. Yeah. And then you're fine. That takes you through to the end of the ban. He's not going to bitch because he's won the Champions League. You're fine.
Yeah.
But it's also, I don't know at this point how much they like Jesus. I like him.
True.
I think we all like him. But he doesn't actually play that much.
I've been actually quite surprised at the amount of minutes he's got this year.
Yeah, but he's still not do you feel like Pep would be happy if Aguero got a season-ending injury to just have Jesus as his starting striker for the whole season?
Probably.
And that's what I mean. And so there's a part of me that thinks, are City sure about this guy? I don't think they'd sell him, but
even if they're playing 60 games a year, they'd be fools to only have one.
Sure, I agree. But it depends. Then if you bring in a striker, it is really hard. If they're too young, then Jesus is going to say, hang on, what about me? If they're too old, maybe they're a little bit past it. I mean, if Aguero really, really agitates and you don't win the Champions League and Aguero's like, I'm leaving, you have to let me leave or I'm going to go on a free next year. Actually, maybe we'll just keep him and let him go on a free. Because next year he will be 33.
They're also not necessarily going to get, the max amount of money I see them getting is maybe 40 mil at best.
Aguero, yeah. I'm thinking he's an amazing striker,
is probably what's going to happen.
But then see, for that price, I'd probably keep him. But also,
yeah.
But actually, if Aguero said he was going to leave and I had to let him go, I think I'd probably go and take one of Arsenal's strikers.
Aubameyang or Lacazette.
I'd probably take Aubameyang or Lacazette. Lacazette's got the better build-up play. He's slightly younger and it's going to be less of an issue for Jesus. Aubameyang, he'll come in, give you a couple of years. Yes, he's got to accept the fact he won't win the Champions League. But if nobody comes in for him this season who's going to win the Champions League, he's got to face up to that fact anyway. Aubameyang is going to come in and be as prolific as Aguero away. Cover you a couple of seasons.
He's also not got a bad injury record, has he? No. Aguero's injury record at times can be suspect, whereas Aubameyang is pretty good.
And I don't think it'll be crazy expensive. It'll be expensive.
The final thing on Aguero is that I don't know what sort of character he is. Well, you can sort of guess what sort of character he is by how he's acted over the last 10 years, because he's been, I would say, by far the best striker in the Premier League for the last 10 years.
100%.
And he would have had offers to go to all sorts of clubs in that time, and he never has. Does this Champions League situation change it? Or not. I've got a feeling that he might just want to stay at City.
I've got that same feeling. Outsiders' view looking in,
is he
going to
go
happy.
Somewhere now?
But if Real Madrid come and say, here's 2 years at the Bernabeu, you're playing next to some
having
of the best
played
players
for
in the world.
I think he might just want 2 years at Independiente when he's still working.
Well, the one thing I will say is I've got the quote here that the Athletic spoke to some of the players' agents. There's not... they didn't name which player's agent, but they did say, though that being said, they did mention Bernardo Silva slightly before this paragraph. They said, expect players to be brutal, ruthless, and act in their own interests, even the ones you think are nice.
Fair.
So, read into that how you will. I mean, again, Bernardo Silva and Kevin De Bruyne, those kind of transfers just aren't going to happen.
Yeah.
Because unless they're receiving a mental amount of money from a club like any other season, it's just not going to happen. Because at worst, even if they're moaning, those players, they just go, you're contracted here, we pay you this money,
it. Okay, to wrap up this sort of transfer section, we've got Upamecano in. Who are we deciding as our... We maybe don't need a centre forward and a winger. Who are we bringing in as a forward?
If Werner's available,
I think it's
Werner.
Timo Werner as well.
Werner covers the available. Wing, covers forward.
Yeah.
That's fine.
That's kind of easy.
Saves you money as
okay.
well.
Okay, Timo Werner. Sorted. I mean, not that's two not of the most original money. Names for you guys there, but it's Man City. They need to be at the top of their games. Werner and Upamecano. I mean, fat chance of getting both of them out of RB Leipzig, but we'll see.
If they do a buyout, you can do it.
True.
But just to go on to the last section, I think, which is to talk about the complexion of the Champions League race in the Premier League after this. Mm-hmm. So we haven't had it confirmed, but it's widely suspected and probably the case that whoever finishes fifth will now get a Champions League spot. And so looking at the table, I think it's pretty clear, like, Leicester's chances are now over 90% for the Champions League. They've got a huge lead. They're going to get a Champions League spot. Obviously, one goes to Liverpool as well. Then next up, we've got Chelsea, Spurs, Sheffield United, Man United. They're all within 3 points of each other. Then a couple of points down to Wolves and Everton. Then another couple of points down to Arsenal and Burnley. I've also looked at Footy Labs, which is a website which basically ranks the schedule of each team.
Oh, okay.
So they rank it from easy to difficult. Oh, the easiest schedule in the league, Man United. Second easiest, Wolves. The most difficult schedule in the league, Villa and Bournemouth.
That's not good news.
That is not good news.
Arsenal, Spurs are right in the middle here. Sheffield have the third hardest run in, and Everton are a couple of places above that. Chelsea are fourth easiest.
Okay.
But I think, to be honest with you, I think Chelsea will probably make it. I think they've got a pretty deep squad. I think they've had a bad period and they're still in fourth.
Yep.
And then to me, the question is,
who's next?
And I think it's a three-horse race. I think it's Spurs, Man United and Wolves.
You don't think Sheffield United might edge it?
No.
I'm putting a rogue one in here. I think Everton might have a shout.
They've got got a tough run now.
Okay. I haven't looked into their running, but they've lost 1 in 11 under Ancelotti, and that was to City.
Yeah, but they did have you looked at their schedule in through those games?
It was a lot of Newcastle, wasn't
it? Was unbelievably easy.
Like, they had two games against Newcastle.
Like, they've been very good, don't get me wrong. Like, and
they also, I don't know whether they have the depth to last it for another
games. If they get through this next run of fixtures, then like I'll start to believe it. But like, I think they've got pretty much all their rivals for that top four space in the next few weeks. Like, starting with Arsenal this weekend. Jeez.
I mean, I sort of refuse to believe that it could be Man United, given how they've generally played across the season.
They are
worryingly close. And Spurs have a lot of injury issues. Man United, you know, their injury issues are slightly abating. I believe McTominay's back quite soon. I think Rashford's, you know, not too far off.
Spurs are right in the middle, by the way.
I'll tell you what will decide it. This game on Saturday, Chelsea versus Spurs. If Spurs win it,
I think there's a lot of games to go after that.
For these two clubs, it's the biggest game of their season, right? In domestically, whoever wins that, I think, kind of gives themselves a chance.
Until
space.
The Son injury, I was thinking it was Spurs.
Yeah, that is the difficulty. I'm not too sure how far until Harry Kane's back, but I mean, what are they doing? They're going to play. Troy Parrott, Bergvine,
I think it'll be Bergvine and Lucas.
I think they'll play Ali through the middle and maybe push Lo Celso up as a 10.
Okay.
Because they've given Winks and Dier loads of minutes in midfield, so they could just play like Winks and Ndombele in midfield or something.
Still, it's not necessarily like, it's not as frightening as what Son or Harry Kane was.
Though I think it's bullshit that Son is out for the rest of the season. I think that is classic Mourinho. I remember, I think it was Wenger's 1,000th game actually, when he just before that, he'd been like, checks out for the season. Like, he said like 3 players are out for the season and they were all miraculously fit for the time that Arsenal turned up to play. They all started the game.
And what a great game that was.
He's the worst player.
I'm not going to say what the result's going to be. I don't want to jinx anything. I also don't want to say when the Chelsea will get the Champions League. But I do think it's going to be.
You played so well against Spurs last time.
We've also, like, we played well against other teams. Like, we played well against United.
Mm.
We just did, like, this is. Look, it's not about Chelsea. But in terms of who the fifth spot will go to, I do think United might just edge it. The annoying thing, right, as well, is for Ollie. Is he might then get the chop afterwards after getting them Champions League football, his best player being injured in Paul Pogba, and then his second best player in Marcus Rashford also being injured. Like, quite a tough thing to do.
Yeah, I wouldn't have any issues with him being given the chop.
Getting Fred, like, getting the best out of Fred this season,
been some plus points, but it's not really about what they've done this season, it's where you think they're going to go in three.
Yeah,
and
that
he
is,
needs
that
the chop
the
at
truth.
Some stage.
That is the truth. Yeah.
Pull off the plaster, get Champions League and get Poch in with Champions League football.
That would be annoying. That would be really annoying, because that would be the beginning of what I think would be a pretty good period.
Okay, so we're just worst settling on Chelsea fourth and Man United fifth.
That's what I'll say. That's maybe Spurs, depending on what happens on this week.
Maybe Spurs and an outside chance at Wolves, but I don't see Sheffield United, Everton, or Arsenal doing it.
If Sheffield United do it, that would be unbelievable. Even Wolves, like, fair play to Nuno if he pulled that off. I mean, he could do it through winning the Europa.
Could do.
Which would be quite interesting.
So could Arsenal. Who else is in it? United.
United in the Europa.
I would love us to get drawn against Man United in the Europa and absolutely slap them about, because they have been, they're disgusting. They're the worst fans in the world. They were so revolting after the Chelsea game.
Oh, Joe Tomlinson.
I don't like Chelsea at all, but they were so pleased with themselves. And it's like,
I thought you meant the homophobic chant.
That as well.
But they were terrible against Chelsea. Like, Maguire was awful and should have been sent off. Like,
lucky VAR decision.
Pretty much the whole
Zuma.
Team, bar two players, was embarrassingly bad.
I thought they were okay. I only could watch the second.
Yeah, but I didn't think they weren't better at all. No. And they should have been down to 10 men the whole game. Like, so, and I say this as someone who hates Chelsea as well. I was just like disgusted by them. And Harry Maguire, like, so pleased with himself, despite the fact
His comments afterwards, I was trying to keep in mind Batshuayi's not falling over. And he goes, oh, I was trying to break Batshuayi's fall.
With your
studs
in his, studs balls.
In his yeah. crotch.
Idiot.
What?
Scumbag. I hate Harry Maguire, and I think he should get a retroactive ban. But, I think that basically wraps it up. So, Man City, I don't know, like, if you were to sum up, like, how bad you think this is going to be for them.
I reckon...
I think they'll be basically all right.
Exactly. I think Kaz is going to give them a one-year Champions League thing. They'll win the Premier League because they've got nothing else to focus on.
Yeah.
And then be back and probably better than ever.
Yeah, I just don't think this exodus people are talking about is going to happen. Pep said he's going to stay. I think they'll be fine.
If they win the Champions League, it will just make everything easier.
I don't think they'll get through against Real Madrid.
Ooh.
I mean, it does put massive pressure on it, but I just don't think they will.
But they'll be so up for it now.
But it could work both ways.
They're done with the Premier League now. They're done with the Premier League.
We've seen them panic against Liverpool in the quarterfinals 2 years ago, and they conceded 4 in like 20 minutes, and they're right.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
True.
They've got potential to concede a block of goals very short space amount of time.
Well, can people watch us react to that on the live stream?
They can next Wednesday on Euro Football Daily, Total Football. Going to be massive.
Nice.
That is worrying.
God. Well, I think that's us about done. Thank you very much, guys.
I really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
We fixed it. So thank you very much for listening. And obviously, make sure you're subscribed to the podcast, which I assume you are, that you might be listening on Spotify like a weirdo.
To him on Spotify.
No.
Do you?
It's weird.
Weirdo.
Weird.
All you Spotify guys out and women out there. Anyway, love you all.
Yeah. Okay. Well, fine. Whatever. we'll catch you next time. Thanks for watching. Bye.
Bye.
It's extra time.
He shoots and it's a goal.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.